Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
the artist formerly known as Jody Gersh joins the podcast.
What's she known as now?
JG from the MPLS. Yeah. Okay, Patrick, it is basement time. We are in the basement. It's boiling hot outside here in Northern Virginia.
It's boiling.
But we wanted to make a call and get somebody who's in maybe a cooler place. Put us, in the maybe in a different state of mind here. So you're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us on the phone is our old friend, Jody Gersh.
Yay.
Who now lives in Minnesota. She was
here
in Northern Virginia, DC area.
Yep.
Now,
it's all true.
Now in Minnesota. And welcome, Jody.
Hello. Hello, rocking the suburbs, dudes.
You are driving through the wilds of Minnesota right now, Jody. Is that right?
Yes. I'm just about to pass through Edina.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no, me either, yet. It's a town. It's a town I'm passing right now.
And you moved to Minnesota for work.
Correct. In January. A lot of people questioned moving to Minnesota in January, but it worked out okay.
But you're saying it's not cooler there. It's hot today?
Today it is. Actually, there was a big storm this morning, which cooled it down, but yesterday it was in the 90s.
Wow. That's hot. That's what it is here.
Yeah. So you weren't completely able to escape the stifling heat and humidity that you remember.
That's right.
In the swamp of DC, right?
Yes, I have a friend visiting and she showered 3 times yesterday.
Okay. All right, and we're going to talk with the friend in a moment here. So, but what we really wanted to talk with you about is, and while you're in the car, is you just moments ago left the Paisley Park tour, right?
Yes, correct.
And you've been in Minneapolis now for about 5 months. And you've just now made it to see the Temple of Prince. So what took you so long?
Well, first I hibernated in the cold, so I didn't go outside at all. And I don't know if you know, Minneapolis has the Skyway system, and you don't actually have to go outside at all if you live downtown. So I only just started going back outside about a month ago. I was traveling for business. It was on my list. It just hadn't happened yet. But was perfect timing because my friend that was visiting this weekend is a huge Prince fan. And so we just said, let's do it. And we did it.
Okay. And now pass the phone over to your friend so we can introduce her.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi. Sherry.
Hello, Rockin' the Suburbs guys.
Hello there.
Having me.
No, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We're eager to hear your thoughts as a longtime Prince fan on the experience of the tour.
Yep, but first let's set this up. Sherry, you're visiting Jody, but where do you live?
So I currently live in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm originally from Washington, D.C. That's where I met Jody. We used to be big club girls where we would go clubbing like 3-4 times a week. And so that's what we bonded over. And then shortly after I wouldn't say graduated college, but a few years after that, I moved out to L.A. and I lived there for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And then my husband, I'm somewhat of a newlywed. And so my husband was originally from Wisconsin. We met out in L.A. He was a drummer in a band, and I gravitate towards drummers. And we fell in love and decided to move back to his hometown.
Is it Tommy Lee?
And be closer to, I'd love to say yes, but it's not. Is it Tommy Lee? I do love me some Tommy Lee. Don't make fun. Laughing. He's laughing.
We were laughing, but
because he wouldn't live in Wisconsin,
right?
That's why
he wouldn't live. Exactly, he wouldn't live in Wisconsin.
No, and I'm sure your husband is more stable than him, and that's probably a good thing.
Pretty much. He's very stable. Good. Yeah.
And you're a big Prince fan.
I am. You know, I was just telling Jody this story this morning when I was, I swear it was his very, very early years. I didn't even know who Prince was. My friend KJ Robinson, Kenya Robinson, girl, I'm looking for her still. Oh my God. She was one of those girls that just, everything was Prince. Everything was all about him. She introduced me to his music, who he was, and used to invite me over to her house, and we would just play his vinyl all the time, over and over again, and just dance like crazy little kids in her basement. And when I first heard 1999, I was like, oh my God, that is forever from now. Like 1999? Wow. You know, so I just thought it was so cool. And now, you know, here we are in 2017. Right. But yeah, I grew up loving him, listening to him. I love his style. I love his influences. I love his funk. He's just multi talented. The creative juices flowing out of that guy was just unreal, unheard of. And then when I moved to LA, my first job there was as an event planner for the House of Blues on Sunset. So we saw a lot come through. And Prince, I'd say about after 6-9 months that I started working there, we had a relationship, he with House of Blues. And he would come and do jam sessions in the Parish Room. The Parish Room was off of the members only foundation room. And it would only hold about 50 people. And they were very, very private, intimate events. So it was a once in a lifetime opportunity to see this every single time. And as an event planner, his tour manager would call us at, you know, I'd say late at night and say, you know, Prince wants to stop by and do just a quick, you know, private event. And I'd get this menu all together and he'd have his staple chicken and rice and steamed vegetables and a bottle of port was to be set up in the foundation confessional room. And we ordered his favorite DJ, DJ Rashida. And he would come, you know, late at night with a few people and jam out, you know, dance, hang out, do some talking, doing some business dealing, just chilling. And he'd do that almost like every other weekend, it seemed like, since while I was working there. So that just made it even more personable for me. And noticing how much of an intimate experience that was and once in a life opportunity for the people that got to work at House of Blues. It was life changing. So I don't usually get very, you know, teary eyed or emotional over, celebrity passings. I'm all about, you know, praising them and celebrating them. But that was, last year was definitely, you know, a rough one. Just because it was somebody that we knew and loved and who was a staple at the House of Blues, a place that is like family still to this day. Well, you know, there's always going to be family, but the House of Blues on Sunset just started its demolition last week. Really, really sad. Yeah. Mm. You know, the hotels and the condos are starting to take over the famous Sunset Strip. It's definitely not what it was, but, yeah, demolition started, last week, but I went back a couple years ago when I knew it was closed down and they were going to do this and got a few mementos. So,
wow, that's fascinating.
So how many of these little intimate performances of Prince did you get to see?
Well, because I was there, being a part of the, I guess what you would call an event as an event planner, their functions or events, no matter who it is, you know, it was almost every other weekend for about, I felt like it was 6 months or so.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
And now he didn't jam out every time during those. Some of them he would just come with a few friends, but he always, you know, had guitar in hand or a synthesizer or would, you know, bounce DJ Rashida off of hers and, you know, tool around or what have you. But he did set up other intimate experiences where he would bring in partial, band set up, and there were a couple of those just for about 50 people. Wow. And then as a, you know, we called it he did a favor for us and held a couple concerts down in the music hall, and the music hall had a capacity of about 1400. And those would be considered private as well. So yeah, very, very special times for the House of Blues when he was doing that during, I'd say, a course of the year, 9 months to a year.
What year are we talking here?
This was around 2003, 2004.
Okay.
2003, 2004. Okay. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And were there any like particular songs from those performances that still stand out in your mind?
You know, honestly, it's the other way around. A lot of them didn't stand out. I feel like he was practicing some of his new stuff we had never heard of. And then what he would do is just jam out, like, you know, instrumentals for 10, 15 minutes straight. So, you know, I don't ever recall hearing Little Red Corvette or, you know, anything from the Gold Experience or anything from the early times. It just, you know, no 1999. It just wasn't like that at all.
Yeah.
It was just him using an intimate place in LA while he was there to jam out
to just
for
be
himself
Prince.
Or for his friends and just be him and be comfortable. One of the things that we were great about at the House of Blues was privacy, confidentiality. And that worked for him. It worked really well. Oh. We had entrances that he could just roll right into and not have to worry about things. So
that's amazing. So it sounds like that's even more of a unique experience than if you'd seen him play hit songs, right?
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, wow. For sure. Exactly. I completely agree with that.
So, okay. So hang on a second. Pass the phone back to Jody because I want to set up this Paisley Park thing with something she was talking about yesterday. So,
sure. Of course. Right. Okay. Hold on, guys.
Hello.
Jody?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about your experience today. You can hear us? Hear us okay? Okay.
Yep.
And when you... were texting with me yesterday when we were setting up this recording, you said that you had found some kind of special like VIP brunch or something like that for this Paisley Park thing. So, and then you like, we got to do that. So what is the difference between the experience you guys had at Paisley Park today than say the average schmo, you know, just walks up?
Right. So there are two types of tour. There's like the general admission tour and then there's the VIP tour. And the VIP tour, it goes in, it's longer, it goes in more rooms, and it includes the brunch, which was in one of the sort of more private rooms that he would do intimate shows in. So we got to go into all three of the music studios that are in Paisley Park. And then we also went into this huge soundstage where they filmed, which was the Graffiti Bridge and a bunch of his music videos. And then we went into this other sort of smaller, intimate room where they had tables set up. And every room had Prince music playing and videos on. And you would see a lot of the outfits that he wore, you know, right there under the videos. And, man, he was a small guy.
Yeah.
It's not that he was short, because he was short, but he was just small in general.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you'd look at these outfits and they would be like coming up to sort of my neck, like the entire outfit from his high heel boots on up. It was really interesting.
Yet he was apparently a hell of a basketball player, like for real.
Okay, you're right. So one of the rooms we were in that they turned into the Purple Rain room, and each of the room was like, each room they turned into a room honoring a particular album or tour. So the studio, one of the studios they turned into the Purple Rain room, and it used to have a basketball court in it.
Yeah,
they actually carpeted it and put in a big screen, but it had been his personal basketball court.
Yeah.
And Jody, I'm just listening to you talk and trying to think of a couple times I've seen images of Paisley Park. I mean, it's got to be it seems like it's a massive, like, sprawling complex. I mean, is it like that when you drive up to it, like you're driving up to a stadium or something?
You know, from the outside, it doesn't look like that. It's a white building. It's actually not all that interesting looking from the outside. It's very industrial, kind of square. It's all white.
Okay.
And we really didn't know that if we were in the right place. There isn't really signage. And when you go in, it's sort of like Fort Knox. Everything is fenced off. There's security. They have to look at your, make sure you have the right tickets. And then they kind of... on a little like walkie-talkie, say, okay, we've got one car coming through to the next checkpoint. It was really that part we were like, I guess we're in the right place, but it seems very weird. And then just very unassuming from the outside. I would never have known that there was this huge sound stage where, you know, he did concerts. I think that's also where at the 1 year anniversary this past April, they had a huge show there at Paisley Park, and I think a bunch of different
musicians played there. The ticket was very expensive, so I did not attend it. But yeah. I thought about it for a hot minute. I was like, oh, that would be great. But yeah, so it's not like when you pull up to when you're in Memphis and you pull up to, now I can't think of Elvis's home.
Graceland. Yeah.
It's not like that at all.
Yeah.
It looks like you're in an industrial park.
Mm.
And they actually like confiscate your phone when you go in, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so you're not allowed to take any pictures. And even to the point where as you're approaching the building, there's this cool rug on the floor that's purple with the symbol. And I was like, well, can I take a picture of this at least? She's like, nope. And they took my phone and my Apple Watch.
Wow.
Like, you can't text. You can't do. I was like, I can't take pictures of my watch. Like, nope, we got to collect that. And they put it in like a little purse that they seal up with a lock that's very similar to sort of the when you're in a clothing store and they have this kind of white plastic tags on clothing that set off the alarm. It closes with one of those sort of magnetized locks and then they give it back to you. So you actually have your phone and you keep it. It's just in this locked pouch that you can't open.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so then when you're all done, and even in the brunch, you're not allowed to use it. When you finally leave and you're going into the merchandising tent, that's when they unlock it for you and you get your devices back. And yes, I said merchandising tent.
Yes, and are you actually even allowed to discuss this now, or were you breaking some kind of non-disclosure agreement?
No, it's really fascinating. They not only are we allowed to discuss it, but they highly encouraged it. They were like, tell all your friends, make sure you tell everybody that they should come and you should come again. And part of me wonders the reason why they don't let you take any is to keep sort of the mystery about what it is. This is good. Sorry, I'm trying to park while talking to you.
No, it's no problem.
So this has to be a highlight of your new hometown, right? Yeah. This has got to be one of the better experiences you've had since moving, right?
Yeah, definitely. So since I got here, I haven't done much in terms of music. You know, it's a new city and it was winter and I'm still trying to figure out my job. But yeah. I've seen at least one show. And there's also a lot of theater and musical theater. And I've been going to some of that as well. But yeah, this was definitely a highlight. And I walk to work, and now that it's warm out, I walk outside and I walk past the Minneapolis Visitor Center, and there's all these posters of Prince and really cool prints of Prince in the window. And I've gone in there a few times and thought about buying some of these really interesting paintings. And you just kind of think about the history that he had here. And then I walk by First Avenue every day on my way to work, and that was his club from Purple Rain. And then this Friday night, I may try to get tickets to the Twins game because it's Prince night at the game and they're giving out Purple Rain umbrellas. And they're going to be playing songs throughout the game. So I'm like, I think I can do that this Friday night.
That'd be fun. So Jody, you keep mentioning this job you have, but really, I don't think you understand. Your job, your primary job is to go to cool music places in Minneapolis and report back to us for the podcast.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, your job description may be a little skewed. Yeah, you have to work on that.
Yeah, no, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I will get right on it.
We also need to hook you up with Jimmy Linetti. You guys need to spend some time together.
That's right.
He's one of our listeners from Minneapolis.
Yes, he is.
And really cool, big music fan. So you guys could hang out.
Yeah,
that would be
absolutely.
The greatest.
And
you guys could hang out. We can get you on at the same time.
That'd
be
amazing.
Be the best thing.
That would be very cool. I've been saying that I need to start practicing my little banjolele because a friend of mine's husband plays a mandolin in an all strings quartet.
Wow.
And I was like, I need to get myself in that and start jamming with my little banjolele.
Without a doubt. And I will say to our listeners, who maybe there's somebody out there who might remember when Jody came on the old thing that we used to do. But Jody has an incredible voice. That would be great, Jody, if you were jamming with people. I'd love to hear you sing.
I never meant to cause you any trouble. That's all you get.
That's a teaser.
After that, you have to pay royalties.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Okay. All right. So let's put Sherry back on the line and get her impressions of Paisley Park.
Yep. Hold on. Hey, hey.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Okay. So you heard what Jody had to say about Paisley Park. What was the experience like for you?
The experience was very similar, but it was somewhat emotional, especially first walking in and hearing her talk about what they did in the meantime to the museum. And you know, you walked in this foyer atrium, excuse me. You walk into this atrium and it has a symbol on the floor, and then the walls are all clouds. And the symbolization of that was no ceilings. He didn't want any ceilings, so he's breaking through ceilings all the time. And then doves going up and up and up. Mm. And we didn't go on the second floor or however much higher he has the Paisley Park, but we did get to see in an open area on the second floor a couple cages, and there were white doves that they keep in there and take very good care of. And
wow,
they're always going to do that. But you know, walking in that atrium and seeing his ashes, and the ashes were in a replica, well, in an urn, in a replica design, you know, small architectural design of Paisley Park.
Mm.
It was pretty wild. And I heard on the tour that they used to have the ashes on eye level. I don't know if that was super emotional for people in the past, and they decided to elevate it up a lot higher. So you can't really see in it, like, over on a top and all around, but you can see through the glass. To see that there's an urn in there, and we're told his ashes are in there. Hmm. But like I mentioned, it just really, I don't think Prince knew that his time was coming this soon. And for him to, you know, put all of this in effect, knowing that one day he wants to leave his legacy, but I don't think anybody ever imagined it would be this soon. So, yeah, he was very meticulous about everything that's in Paisley Park and all the different rooms. And the studios are just beautiful. The pianos he have that has the collection are just unreal. And there's this really cool mural on one of the walls. He calls it the influence mural. And to the left are all the people that he's influenced, and to the right are all the people that influenced him.
Mm.
And it was fun going through and watching the people that influenced him, because you could hear their sounds and their music.
So, like, give us,
you know, like Jimi Hendrix, for mm-hmm. example, Carlos Santana, those were his favorite too. But you know, when you listen to Jimmy, you're like, gosh, yeah, Prince must have really wanted to emulate him. And same with Carlos Santana and his guitar riffing and playing ability. And then the people that he influenced, like what Babyface and The Time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's got to be a pretty big wall.
And all the women, yeah. Sheila E., Wendy, Lisa, Apollonia were on there. Joni Mitchell was on the other side, an influence of him. So I was glad to see her. It was unbelievable. It was a great experience. And, you know, for us, it was kind of an on the fly thing. And we were like, wow, right. Why didn't we think of this when I was planning to come? But we met people on the tour that just flew in for this.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, you know, a guy who had a tattoo of the symbol on his wrist. And it just made me think, you know, so many people love this man, and so many people, loved his music and were very entertained and have a story. You know, I have my story, but there's just, you know, millions of people that have their story as well. And it's a huge loss. We did get a photo opportunity in one of the studios as part of the VIP tour, on a thumb drive. So, like Jody was mentioning, we can't have cameras in there. And I totally get why, not just for the mystery, but this time was one of those times where you can enjoy every single inch and really understand him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt for a minute that he said, if I pass, I don't ever want pictures taken.
Yeah.
Because it made me just not, every now and then I was like trying to pull out my camera and my purse, forgetting, because it's such a habit, forgetting that it's locked up. What would I have done? I would just sat there and taken pictures of everything and not really taking it in.
Yeah.
This time it forced us to take in the experience, take him in, feel his presence, feel his energy. It was awesome. And then when we got in this one studio, it was time to let loose and have a couple pictures near one of his pianos and a mural on the wall.
That's nice.
And we played, while we were waiting for the other people, we played ping pong on the same table that he played ping pong on. Yeah. It was really cool. And we listened to, you know, so many of his tunes, but we did get to listen to one unreleased instrumental. It was classic Prince with the funk, and, you know, hopefully one day those records will be released. Those songs will be released. Yeah. And hopefully one day they're going to open up Paisley Park for people to do their own sound recordings and have their own special concerts. I mean, as an event planner, I was salivating. I thought, gosh, the amount of concerts and special events I could have in this place, just, you know, be such an experience right there. But for now, I think they're getting past the, you know, the part where people need to come in and experience him and understand what he was made of. Yeah.
Okay. So Sherry, two things. Mm-hmm. One, yes, as an event planner, you are now dubbed to plan the Rock in the Suburbs podcast recording at Paisley Park.
So
let's make that happen. That's number one.
Hey. Number one.
I'm down.
All right.
I just got a gig.
All right. Okay. And then number two is, you know, how was the brunch? What was the food like?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Okay. So his brunch was unreal. And the brunch was prepared by his personal chef that he used to have.
Oh, wow.
And it was prepared with some of Hit Prince's favorite items. So it was scrambled eggs with avocado and a very yummy spice or sauce, Middle Eastern inspired sauce. I can't remember the name of it. It was so delicious.
So like around the world a day.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Okay. Right. I'm saving the best for last. I haven't even gotten there. Potatoes that were just excellent. Not just your average potatoes, but s'mores, French toast, bread, cinnamon, marshmallows, graham cracker, chocolate drizzled on top. It was so good. So good. It was fabulous. And I stole a little menu. Yeah, they said he had a sweet tooth, but you know, the man never gained an ounce, so he could eat whatever he wanted.
Yeah. He was too busy working and moving all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
And shooting hoops.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All yeah, right. Shooting hoops.
That's right. Cool. Well, thanks very much, both of you.
This really is a nice flavor of what
for
it was like.
Always good to talk.
We need to get on a plane.
Yeah,
head on up.
Oh. That's right. We'll do it.
This is exciting. Yeah. Okay.
It was a pleasure, guys, and I'm ready for my gig at Paisley Park with you all.
Thank you, Sherry.
Let's do it.
Okay, hold on.
All right, thanks.
Hey.
Okay, so, hey, Jody, so thanks very much for
giving
us this sort of audio tour.
It was a really nice flavor I really got a nice flavor of what that experience was like. It was great to talk to them fresh off the...
Right away.
Yeah, it was great.
It was perfect.
Yep.
Okay, so, and Jody, do you... Can you come on the show again, like maybe tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Okay. That would be amazing.
Let's do that. So you're going to hear again from Jody tomorrow. I know you need to send Sherry off. She has to drive a long way from Minnesota to Wisconsin. So take care of that. And then we'll talk again tomorrow. So thanks
very
much.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jody.
See ya.
Bye.
And Patrick, people should listen tomorrow because they listen to the show.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Find it on all the podcast platforms. Also, tell us what... If you've been to Paisley Park or...
Yeah, we'd love to hear if any of our listeners have been and what their experiences were.
Or if you've been to Graceland, that'd be kind of cool to hear about.
Too.
Or anything about Prince, whatever you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. You can call the Suburban Party Line, which actually has a Minneapolis exchange. It's 612-440-1984. You can leave a message there or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com or visit us on social media. Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Suburbs Pod.
Uh-huh.
Also, check out our website,
suburbspod.com,
which sadly does not have photos from Jody and Sherry's visit
Unfortunately,
to Paisley
no,
Park.
But maybe it will.
You have all the images in your mind now
having
listened to that.
Maybe they could do a drawing.
All right, we got to go. You listen to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you and Jody tomorrow.
Tell you nowhere. They've taken a lifetime lease on the Paisley Park. Girl on the seesaw's laughing, for love is the color this place imparts. Paisley Park. Mission is easy, just say you've been.
this is what it sounds like when doves cry. Bum, 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 bum.